Oh Lord, open our ears to hear your voice. Open our hearts to receive your love. Open our eyes so that we may see new life in our midst. In the name of God, Father, Mother, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, good morning. Or should I say, good morning. It's still Lent. Before we begin this morning, it might be helpful for us to look back briefly at chapter 11 of John's Gospel to remind ourselves of what has already taken place in order to put today's reading into perspective. Jesus has raised Lazarus from the dead, and many of the people who witnessed this came to believe in him. Jesus eats with Lazarus, Mary, Martha, and some of the other disciples, and it is at this meal that Mary anoints Jesus' feet with perfume. A crowd of people, having learned that Jesus was with Lazarus, came to see this man that had been raised from the dead. Now, I don't know if that's something I would rush to see, but that's just me. But they did. And they also wanted to see the one who had brought him back to life. That there were people who came to believe in Jesus because he raised Lazarus from the dead was of concern to the chief priests. So they began to plot not only to kill Jesus, but Lazarus as well. Nonetheless, the crowd grew. From the moment Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead until he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, the crowd of people who believed in him continued to grow. So the crowd came to the festival having heard that Jesus was going to be there. And the crowd had seen that even death was no match for Jesus. The Pharisees were deeply concerned about the growing number of people coming to believe in Jesus. And if you recall, in John 12, verse 19, they said, "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." And that brings us to today. Now, among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks, and they have come to see Jesus. They find Philip, a disciple with a Greek name who came from Bethsaida and who possibly spoke Greek. And they made this request, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." So I'm going to leave that right here. I'm not going to repeat the whole of the gospel that was just read, but today, on this fifth week of our Lenten journey, I find myself focusing on words that Jesus says a bit later in verse 24. "Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." So I have become obsessed with a program on the Smithsonian Channel called Aerial America. The series offers aerial views of rare glimpses of some of our country's most treasured sites, all seen from breathtaking heights made possible by a camera system mounted under what they call the chin of a helicopter. The show features flyovers of treasured historical landmarks and homes, national parks, and iconic buildings. The series has aired an episode for every state in this country, as well as some popular destinations like Las Vegas, Hollywood, and New York City. Just last week, I saw an episode that highlighted the state of Maine. I learned that Maine is the largest grower and supplier of blueberries in the world. There were shots of hundreds and hundreds of acres of blueberries. It was absolutely magnificent. And then this magnificent view was immediately followed by images of farmers burning those same once bountiful fields after the harvest. Frankly, I was stunned by the sight of these fields ablaze. Apparently, Burning is the practice the farmers have traditionally used to prune wild blueberry fields. Wild blueberries need to be pruned to promote new growth, and pruning every other year is thought to produce the highest yields. So the farmers burn the fields every other year in order to promote better growth in future crops. Imagine that, killing something in essence to bring new life. How in the world did they figure that out? I mean, can you imagine what that conversation was like? Picture it. Farmers standing around talking about ways to increase their crop. And one of the farmers says, "I know. Let's set the fields on fire so we can get better blueberries next year." So as of today, we are officially in the season of spring, and new plants are starting to break through the surface of the ground. I cannot stop thinking about what I saw on Aerial America. I was struck by how that episode and today's lesson are related, and how it could not be more appropriate for this time of year in nature, and indeed in our church life. Perhaps for the first time, I can really appreciate this metaphor of the grain that needs to be planted so that something can grow. So my focus today is on this cycle of dying in order that something might live, might grow. Now I have a confession to make. I am very easily distracted. And because I am so easily distracted, I had occasion to look out the window a great many times as I prepared for today. And each time I looked outside, I saw more and more signs of life. It seemed like what wasn't there 2 hours ago was now peeking out at me. I saw signs of new growth and new life all around me. Trees budding, flowers peeking out, foliage turning green. And of course, the weeds are making their annual unwelcome appearance. A few of our neighbors are already spreading seed and fertilizer in hopes of having a lush, beautiful lawn in the coming weeks. And every year, I watch our next door neighbor's ritual of digging up bulbs to let them dry out before he plants them again. He tells me this is the only way these bulbs will be ready to grow, before they can bring forth new life, new beauty, they have to die. Using this example of a grain of wheat as a metaphor, Jesus tells the disciples that he must die. A grain of wheat by itself is just one seed. However, the same seed planted in the ground dies to itself and becomes something much greater. Jesus says the time has come. His time to be glorified is approaching. He will die, but through his death will come life in the form of an abundance of fruit. So what does this passage mean in our lives today? How does it touch our lives today? What is Jesus calling us to do, to change, to let go of, to become? Well, one thing has been made clear. If there is no sowing of seeds, there can be no harvest. So maybe that also means if we don't sow seeds for God, we can't bring a harvest for ourselves or for God. And what about this? Sir, we want to see Jesus. The question is, do we want to see Jesus? If we do, we have to be prepared to look for Christ in the right places. Maybe some unexpected places. Maybe we don't always have to look up yonder to find Jesus. Maybe, just maybe, we can look for Christ right here among us. buried among us. Maybe we can find Christ in what is lying fallow. Maybe we can find Christ in what we do plant among us. Maybe we can find Christ in what we give up so that something else might live. Maybe we can even find Christ in what we have let die. Letting go. Faith. And we might do well to remember some things. During Lent, we as Christians are supposed to give up something as an outward expression of a willingness to have inward growth. For those of us that are in the business of repenting during Lent, well, that means that when we repent, we are supposed to be willing to let something die so that we might have become new once more. But let's really understand our place in the scheme of things. While we can spread the seed, we cannot make it grow. We cannot give it life. That, my friends, is beyond our pay grade. Though his enemies thought he was dead, Jesus was raised to a life more abundant than before. Because of this, we have been given a message of hope and transformation through Jesus' death and resurrection. A message of death and new life. Remember, the ocean ebbs and flows, and the sun sets before it rises again. And if we have learned anything at all during this time of COVID, it is sometimes necessary to give up what we have, what we are accustomed to, in order that we might live, that others might live, and yes, even those we do not know. We have had to let go of so many things: time with family and friends, school, work, a meal at a restaurant, travel, social gatherings, worshiping at church, a hug, a thing so simple, yet so precious. As we prepare to observe the Passion of our Lord and Holy Week, we should remember words we've heard not only today, but also in the last few weeks. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus gave himself. He died so that we may live, may grow. I want to leave you with these words this morning, written by the Reverend Ken Kesselis, author of John E. Hines, Granite on Fire. He writes, "As we move rapidly toward Holy Week, we would do well to come as the Greeks came before the Lord, asking to see Jesus, to discover what he is all about as we witness the ultimate example that he provides. We can follow him into a true meaning and become transformed by what we see." Lord, we have come to love our lives just as they are. We confess that we struggle with even the idea of change. We struggle with the thought of doing things differently. We ask this morning that you give us the strength and courage to try new things. And we ask that you forgive us for holding on to the wrong things. Forgive us for insisting that we must always do the same things the same way, because we've always done it that way. Give us the wisdom to know what to let go of and when, dear God, to let go of it. Because again, letting go is faith. Faith in you. Encourage us, God, and yes, maybe even push us to let go of ourselves so that we can fully embrace you. We ask these things today in your holy name. Amen.